May the Holy Spirit assure us this morning that God is our refuge and strength. The sermon text for today is the Psalm of the day, Psalm 46. I would encourage you to follow along with the text as the choir sang it, as we meditate on it. It's on the back page of the service folder. Dear fellow believers, doesn't our world always seem to be in tumult? I mean, it seems that when one disaster has passed, another one is right there to take its place. When a hurricane has passed through, then there's a mass shooting, and then a riot, and then maybe a nail-biting election to go through. It really shouldn't surprise us that these disasters come. Jesus told us that as our world wound down, there would be many disasters. So why do we always seem so surprised when they come up? Shouldn't we rather be looking to how God saves us from disaster rather than fretting over disasters? So often the hand of God goes unnoticed. I grew up in the generation where everyone was concerned that the United States and the Soviet Union would have a nuclear war with one another. Do you remember that one? It was called the Cold War. The United States kept making more and more nuclear weapons and pointed them at the Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union produced more and more nuclear weapons pointed at the United States. We were all on pins and needles about which side would set off the first nuclear weapon. And we were told that once the shooting started, there would be a crossfire that would eventually obliterate all forms of life on the planet. Do you remember what happened with that one? It never really happened, did it? The Soviet Union sort of just crumbled under its own weight. It was so unwieldy that it fell apart. I remember thinking when the Berlin Wall came down and when Mikhail Gorbachev dissolved the Soviet Union, the question on my mind was always, why do none of the reporters point out that God has ended the Cold War? Of course, when one danger and one disaster becomes averted, there's always another one that crops up and takes its place. When that conflict kind of went to the side, then the terrorist threat reared its ugly head. So now we have to worry about that one, right? We have to wring our hands and fret about how that one's going to come out, right? The 46th Psalm tells us something else. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. God is our refuge. We don't use that word very much anymore, and so maybe we don't understand it. Oh, we use it a little bit in phrases like a wildlife refuge. But for the most part, it's fallen out of use. A refuge is a place that people used to flee to when they were in danger. In the Bible times, cities were normally built on a hill or on a mound, and they had big, thick walls that surrounded the whole city. Normally, the people who lived in that area would do their day-to-day work outside the city walls. They'd grow their crops, and they'd tend their sheep. But when word started to circulate that an enemy was coming to attack, they would all flee into the city. They'd go behind those protective walls, and then all the gates would be shut. The city was their refuge. God is our refuge. He's the place that we flee to whenever we're in danger. We know how vulnerable we are. We know how easy it is for us to give into the temptations of the devil. We are so prone to fear. But Psalm 46 tells us we don't have to be afraid. We have God as our refuge and strength. When we flee to Him, He injects us with His courage, and then we are fearless. It's quite a picture that this psalm paints of the unimaginable tumults that face us. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. I've never seen a scene like that, even on the TV news, where the earth drops away from our feet. Oh, every once in a while we'll hear about a sinkhole that maybe swallows up a car or that causes part of a house to fall into it, but that the land would just drop from below our feet? I've never seen in the news a whole mountain crumble and just fall into the middle of the ocean. I've never seen waves so big that they cause mountains to shake. I don't know if that's ever really happened in the history of the world. Except maybe during the great flood of Noah's time. I think the psalm writer is trying to picture for us the most unimaginable destructive forces that could possibly happen. But all of a sudden, in the middle of all this tumult that's going on in this psalm, the writer of the psalm lifts our eyes up and gives us a little glimpse of heaven. He tells us about a river, a very calm river, that nourishes and delights the city of God, the place where the Most High dwells. The prophets of the Old Testament sometimes got visions of heaven. And it's striking how similar their visions of heaven are to this middle section in Psalm 46. Isaiah, for instance, in his vision of heaven, saw God sitting high and exalted on a throne. The prophet Ezekiel saw what looked to him like the city of Jerusalem. And there was a river that started to trickle and bubble up from underneath the temple, only it was a huge temple in his vision. And that river, it came from underneath the temple, and then it started to flow into this, what turned out to be a huge river. He said when he saw it, at first it was only ankle deep, but all of a sudden that river became knee deep, and then waist deep. And pretty soon it was so deep and so wide that no one could cross it. He saw this river cascading down from the temple of God, cascading down Mount Zion toward the east, toward the Dead Sea. Now, the Dead Sea is a body of water whose name really describes it. It is dead. It has so much salt content in it that no species of plant or animal can live in the Dead Sea. All around it is desert. But in his vision, Ezekiel saw this miraculous river coming from the throne of God and emptying into the Dead Sea. And he said, all of a sudden, there were fish of every variety swimming around in the Dead Sea. The water of that miraculous river watered all those dry banks around the Dead Sea. And trees sprang up. Trees that produced fruit every month, so that there was an endless supply of food for people who could have eternal life from it. Even the leaves of those trees, if you put them on any wounds or diseases, all were healed. The Apostle John saw that same vision of heaven. He wrote it down in the New Testament book of Revelation. He saw that river that was coming from the throne of God. He could see God sitting on the throne in the temple. And there was the Lamb, Jesus, with him. And that river went down through the middle of the city. And it watered its banks so that trees grew up. The tree of life was growing on its bank. And it produced those 12 seasons of fruit throughout the year, every month, on an endless basis. There was fruit on that tree of life to give the people eternal life. Psalm 46 gives us a glimpse into that heavenly vision. It lifts our sights from this world that is so troubled, that is filled with tumult. And it shows us that other place that is just as real as the world that we live in. People have seen that heaven. Our loved ones who have fallen asleep with faith in Jesus, they see that city. They see that river. They're nourished by that fruit right now. Psalm 46 wants to calm our disquieted spirits. It wants to encourage us that heaven is a real place. And the psalm intertwines what's going on here on the earth with what's going on in heaven, because it wants to assure us that we are already in that refuge. The only difference between us and those who see it with their eyes is that we're still up on the walls fighting the battles. Our loved ones who departed with faith, they're already down securely in that city. No weapon can reach them anymore. But we in this world, we have our three great enemies who are hurling arrows and spears at us. We're up there on the top of that wall, and we're shooting our weapons at the enemy who's attacking us. But every once in a while, one of his arrows is coming directly at us. And it's at those times that we have to duck underneath the parapet. That thing on the top of any of those fortress walls that was like this, kind of like the top of a Lego wall, that was built in such a way so that those being attacked could hide behind it when the weapons were whizzing past their ears. And they could peek around the corner to shoot their arrows back at the enemy. We are safely in that refuge, but we are the part of God's church that are still in the middle of the battle. When our three great enemies fight against us, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, our own sinful flesh, don't be disturbed, Jesus tells us. Oh, they're going to try with all their might to shake us up, to shoot us off the wall. There are all kinds of tumults that we still must face. The psalm goes back down into our world and says, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. But the Lord lifts his voice and the earth melts. God will end every conflict that goes on in this world. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Every weapon that the devil, the world, and our own flesh hurled against us will be snapped like toy weapons in the hands of God, because Jesus has already won the battle for us. So Jesus says to us today, when we wring our hands and say, what is it all coming to? When will the violence end? What does the future hold? When we wring our hands, he says to us, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord is God. Jesus is God. He has everything under his control. You know, the real problem for us, the real thing that gets us unsettled, is because we would like to be God. We would like to be the ones in control. We would feel so much safer if we could control the outcome of the election. We would feel so much safer if we could eliminate ISIS. We would feel so much safer if, fill in your own blank. But if that were the case, how would we ever learn to trust in God? No, God lets these tumults come into our lives because he wants us to learn what Martin Luther learned, that God always rescues us from whatever dangers and tumults face us. He's there controlling even what's going on in this world. As we celebrate this 499th anniversary of the Reformation, may you learn what Martin Luther learned, that God saves us from every tumult that faces us in this world. Though the Pope had excommunicated him, though his emperor had declared him an outlaw, though he fully expected to be burned at the stake like every other person who had ever gone up against the powers that be, Martin Luther learned that God was his refuge and strength. This Psalm 46 is the psalm that inspired him to write his famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Martin Luther knew that Jesus had rescued him from the claws of Satan, had rescued his soul from the clutches of Satan. So why should he fear what men could do to him? God is our refuge and strength. Our world is filled with unimaginable tumults and dangers. But God is still in control, even in this world. Therefore, we will not fear. Amen.